Welcome to the Beacon Church podcast. We love that you've tuned in. We hope this message not only inspires you, but more importantly, we pray it helps you grow closer to Jesus.
Continuing our series this morning on fruit. If you've been here over the past few weeks, you will know that we've been going through the fruit of the Spirit. But really, this series comes from, if I could sum it up in one line, which I do encourage you to go back and listen to the messages if you haven't heard them. But to sum it up in one line from Matthew chapter 7, verse 20. Yes, just as you can identify a tree by its fruit, so you can identify people by their actions. We're looking at the fruit of the Spirit. And as we become a follower of Christ, as we begin to follow Jesus, then our life is going to look a certain way. Because we've been changed by Him, because we've decided to follow Him, He's saved us from our past. Because of that, our life is going to look a certain way. And that becomes the fruit. The fruit of our life will not be the fruit of our flesh, our wrong desires. It won't be the fruit of the world around us and the ways that the world says. But as we follow Jesus, the fruit of the Spirit will be produced in our life. Let's look again where these fruit are described in Galatians chapter 5. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. It's in capitals because we're looking at that one today. Gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. These are the fruit of the Spirit, the things that God will produce in your life as you follow Him. And I'm excited to look at this characteristic of faithfulness this morning. What does faithfulness look like? And it's my prayer this morning that each of us would, as we sit here, as we hear this message this morning, we'd understand a little bit more about the character of God and the character that God wants to build in our lives. That's my prayer, those two things. We'd understand God a little bit better and understand who God wants us to be. As we look at faithfulness, I want to look at a parable that Jesus told in Matthew chapter 25. If you don't know what a parable is a kind of story that is told that has a deeper meaning. It's a nice story, but there's a spiritual reality that the storyteller is trying to convey to the audience. And Jesus tells this story in Matthew 25 about a master who has three servants. And the way that they act when he goes away. Matthew 25 from verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and he delivered his goods to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. So he gives them talents. Talents, we know what talents are in our modern English, but a talent back then is a sum of money. In fact, a single talent was approximately equal to the wages of about 6,000 days work, which is approximately 19 years worth of work. One talent is a significant sum of money. It's funny, I've heard this story many times growing up in church, and as a kid, I always felt bad for the man with one talent. I thought, man, that's not very good. He only got one. Like, the guy got 5 next to him. He only got 1. Like, that, he didn't get much. But actually, we realize if we can, I did some maths, and I'm not a mathematician, so my figures may be off a little bit. But I looked up the average annual salary for a young man my own age here in Australia today. If this was Jesus speaking to me about the annual wage and how much is being entrusted to someone like me, then one talent is approximately $1.5 million. Five talents is $7.5 million. We're talking about someone who's entrusting significant responsibility. And Jesus is telling this story. And for you and I, as the listeners of this story, we have to remember that our lives that God has trusted us with is something significant. That actually the way that we follow Him, the way that we respond to Him is a significant responsibility. It's not poor old little guy with just one talent. There's some significant weight to what God's asked from us. So let's see how these men respond. Picking up from verse 16, then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them, and he made another 5 talents. Likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground, and he hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came, and he settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came, and he brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I've gained 5 more talents beside them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you a ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. He also who'd received 2 talents came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I've gained 2 more also. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Then he who had received the 1 talent came and he said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you've not sown and gathering where you've not scattered seed, and I was afraid. I went and I hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I've not sown and gather where I've not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers. And at my coming, I would have received back my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given. He will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I find this parable so interesting. In fact, I find it an amazing picture of what faithfulness looks like. See, the message of this story that Jesus told has nothing to do with the amounts. It's great that the man given $7.5 million made another $7.5 million. That's fantastic, but it's not about that. It's the equal response was given to the man with 2 talents who brought back another 2 talents. It didn't matter that it was, it didn't matter how much the amount was. It was how the servant dealt with what he was given. How did he treat the finances entrusted to him? How did he treat that which was given to him? I love that line of the master to the faithful servants. Well done, good and faithful servant. I remember as a young man sitting in a church where a preacher declared those words, and I looked at the people around me and I could tell they just wanted to hear those very words from God one day. Imagine arriving in heaven and this is how God greets you. Well done, good and faithful servant. I know that is my prayer. See, I think the parable would have had the same outcome if the characters and the amounts were different. If the man with 1 talent invested it and got another talent back, he would have been received by his master. Well done, good and faithful servant. If the man with 5 had buried them, he would have been the lazy and wicked servant. It's not about how much responsibility we have in life. It doesn't matter what level of society we feel we're on. It doesn't matter how many bosses are above you, how many people are below you in your workplace. It doesn't matter so much as what you do with the responsibility you've been given. And God has got a call for us. But this is Jesus' picture of what faithfulness looks like. It begins with doing what God has asked of us, with what he's given us. Dr. Thomas Constable says it like this. He says, essentially, it involves using what God has entrusted to one in order to advance his interests in the world. The things that we've been given by God, we're called to use them to advance his kingdom. God's interest. That's what faithfulness looks like. It looks like doing what God's asked of us, being reliable, consistent, enduring. This is what faithfulness looks like. It means holding on to the Christian faith no matter what comes our way. This is what faithfulness looks like. And when we do this, I think that we're actually showing the world around us who the God that we serve is. You see, the scripture is so clear over and over and over again. The Bible tells us about God's character and declares that God is faithful. One of the things we can know about God is that God himself is faithful. In Hebrews 10:23, we see this. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. In 2 Thessalonians 3:3, but the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one. 2 Timothy 2:11 to 13, this is a faithful saying. For if we died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. In fact, if we are faithless, if we fall short in being faithful, it does not diminish, it does not change, it does not alter who our God is. God is faithful no matter what. It's actually one of his, it's who he is. It's his nature. He cannot deny himself. He's faithful. He's not shifting. He's not changing. He's the same yesterday, today, forever. Our God is faithful. When he promises something, he delivers. He doesn't lie. He doesn't deceive. God is faithful. This morning, we got to grab hold of the character of our God that we serve. He is faithful. He is faithful. And I understand when we have this, the tension we face then is, I'm not always faithful. I want to worship God, but sometimes I make mistakes. I want to honor him, but my life seems to fall into, so oops, did that again. Our life can be like this. I'm trying to worship a faithful God who doesn't change, but I find it really hard myself to be unchanging, to be faithful to him. Paul, the apostle in Romans 7, describes the wrestle that I'm sure you face, that I face. He says this, and I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature. I want to do what's right, but I can't. I want to do what's good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway. In this passage, Paul's talking about that struggle that we all face, that struggle when the sinful nature that we had, that when we said yes to Jesus died, when it tries to speak from its grave, sometimes you and I, if we're honest, we fall into that old pattern, that old life where instead of being faithful as God's called us, we do make a mistake. This morning, I want to acknowledge that from the get-go, that faithfulness is a call from God. It's a fruit that he can develop in our lives, and this is the challenge of it. The challenge is to do what's right when sometimes we do what's wrong. See, faithfulness is not a fruit of trying really, really, really hard to do what's right. It's not a fruit of trying really, really hard to not do what's wrong. Maybe let me describe it like this as a metaphor. If I'm to be faithful to my wife, it's not by trying really, really hard not to sleep with another woman. If I'm to be faithful to my wife, it's to love my wife, to serve my wife, to pour my attention into loving her the way I've been called to, not to try really hard to do the opposite. In the same way, faithfulness to God is not trying really, really hard to not stuff up. It's learning to love him, to serve him, to follow him. That's what faithfulness looks like. If our attention is on what not to do, we're just dwelling on that. And when it's in front of our mind, you and I know, we go to it. But if God's in front of our mind, if we're focused on Him, if we're actually learning, how do I serve you? Then that becomes the direction our life moves in. Faithfulness is a fruit of the Spirit. As we love God, as we serve Him, He produces that fruit in our lives. When we're connected to Him, we become more like Him. As followers of Christ, we're being conformed to the image of His Son. We become more like Jesus. And I think that faithfulness is pretty opposite to the way of this world, actually. I think that faithfulness is not how the word talks about, not how the world talks about. The world will say things like, be loyal as long as they're loyal back. There's a condition to the faithfulness that the world says. You can be faithful as long as it works for you. Our word says, but you can change your mind. You can break your word. The situation might have changed. Find a loophole. Get them before they get you. Our world's okay with good morals, but being faithful to everything that this asks of us, well, that's a big ask. Maybe there's some things we could leave out. That's what the world will say. Faithfulness, I don't think, is the way of our world. Faithfulness and the ways of the world are like chalk and cheese. They're actually opposite. And this morning, I want to look at one of the most interesting stories, I think it's interesting, in the Old Testament. A story that if you're someone who knows a little bit about the Bible, will probably shock you. A story, a picture that God puts in the Scriptures to show us the absolute comparison between the ways of the world and God's faithfulness. The stark contrast, it's so different. And it's quite an interesting picture that honestly, if you haven't heard this story from the Scripture, you might be shocked this morning. But God uses the life of a prophet, a man who receives the word of God, who hears God's voice and declares it for others. He uses his whole life. In fact, in this story, he uses his marriage as a picture of God's relationship, the faithful God who never changes, the relationship God has with His people who keep making mistakes. This morning, we're looking at a story from the book of Hosea. It's about 800 years before Jesus was born, the voice of God comes to a man named Hosea. And He asks him to do something that seems so confusing, but He has a purpose behind it. Hosea 1, verses 1 to 3. The word of the Lord that came to Hosea, the son of Beeri, in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel. When the Lord began to speak by Hosea, the Lord said to Hosea, go, take yourself a wife of harlotry and children of harlotry, for the land has committed great harlotry by departing from the Lord. So he went and he took Gomer, the son of Diblaim, and she conceived and bore him a son. God speaks to a holy man, a prophet named Hosea. Go and find a wife who's a prostitute. Make her your wife. Because my people have been committing sins against me. This marriage is meant to be a picture, a prophetic picture for the whole nation. God's people, His chosen people, the ones who are supposed to be faithful to God. This marriage, which is maybe confusing to us, a weird example in the Scripture, it's a picture of who God is and His relationship with us. Ultimately, we'll see His redeeming nature in this relationship. I want us to understand why this is in here, why God asked Hosea to do this, because this is not the relationship advice I'm giving to young people right now. I feel like this is quite important as someone that works with young people. This is not the example of a godly relationship that actually God is setting as the example we should aspire to. There's a purpose behind Hosea's actions to teach a whole nation of their own mistakes. But I want to be clear, God didn't ask Hosea to go and practice prostitution. He didn't actually ask Hosea to go and be involved in that lifestyle that God didn't ordain. He didn't ask him to go and participate and sleep around with as many prostitutes to be an example. No, he asked Hosea to be a husband to a woman who had mistakes in her past. He actually asked him to be the example of God in the relationship. And Gomer, his wife, was a woman who had a past, who had mistakes. And that was going to be the picture of, yes, God's people, I know you've stuffed up, but I'm calling you into relationship with me anyway. There's a significant picture and message being conveyed by this relationship. Hosea's called to be a faithful husband. It's going to be a picture for everyone. And in fact, it is a picture with a message to the people of that time. Hey, you're actually committing spiritual adultery. God's saying, I've asked you to live a certain way, but you're doing all these other things, getting practices from the world, from other religions and faiths, from people around you, and you're adding them. You're not being faithful to me. You have multiple relationships with different gods. And that's the picture in Hosea's marriage of their spiritual condition as a people. This morning, I hope that maybe we would learn from this too. Are we, as people who are saying, Jesus, I want to follow you, are we also grabbing things of the world to add to our faith in Christ? We may have done it accidentally, unknowingly, or perhaps even we have done on purpose. We've added these things from the world, from other faiths. I'll just add it to Jesus. I'll just add it on top. But this message, this example of Hosea shows us that God wants to call us to be faithful, not to be someone who's spiritually actually committing adultery against God. After Hosea marries Gomer, she gives birth to 3 children. And it's really interesting. Even the marriage is an example to the world, but even the naming of his children, or of Gomer's children, is actually a message of rebuke and condemnation or judgment to the people of God so that they would listen and change their ways. I've got, these are the 3 names. The first one, the son, Jezreel. The second one, his first daughter, Lo Ruhamah. And then his third son, Lo Ami. God sows, and there was this idea that the son, God was going to scatter his people. God was saying, I have no compassion for you right now. And finally, that you're not my people if you're living like this. Now, these were meant to be proclamations of judgment that would help them shift their ways. Because ultimately, what happens straight after this, God uses Hosea and his actions after all of this takes place to show God's mercy. He says, I want you to follow my ways. Don't go doing these things. My compassion's it's not with you right now. You're not my people right now. But he uses Hosea to show, but even after that, I'm still faithful. Let's have a look the way that, thank you for that. When these 3 children are born, the scriptures give us 3 statements when they arrive, which makes sense. It's telling the story of Hosea and Gomer and their children. But there's a difference, actually, between the firstborn child of Hosea and Gomer and the other 2 children. Let's pull up Hosea 1, verse 3, verse 6, and verse 8. So he went and he took Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim. She conceived and bore him a son. That word him is important. In the next one, she conceived again and she bore a daughter. And now when she had weaned Lo Ruhamah, she conceived and bore a son. See, people who study the scriptures actually make sure, it's really important we understand that the firstborn child was definitely Hosea's. She bore him a son. But Gomer wasn't the faithful wife. She wasn't the picture of what it looked like to get her life right all the time. In fact, biblical scholars point out the other two children probably aren't Hosea's children. They're probably children from her infidelity. Gomer was a woman who had a past but returned to it. Hosea had been cheated on. And actually that third child then, when he names the child and he said, and God's saying, you're not my people. Hosea's naming a child saying, you're not my son. And that picture hits a little different when you realize, man, what is Hosea going through? Hosea's been faithful, but he's received unfaithfulness back. He's been hurt by his wife who's supposed to love him. He's been hurt by someone who left her old ways but then returned to them. Hosea's life is being torn apart. In fact, as we read in the book of Hosea, Gomer leaves him, goes back to her old ways and returns to living as a prostitute. Hosea is facing, I can't imagine, the most hurtful moment in his life, the most pain. Everything's fallen apart. I can almost imagine him turning to God. God, you asked me to do this, but like I knew what was going to happen, God. I knew the sort of actions that she was living. I thought this might happen. And I named my children what you asked me to do, and I've been following you, but now I'm hurt. I'm in pain. This is horrible. God, I know that this was meant to be a picture of how you are with your people, but this just hurts so much to see my wife be unfaithful to me. I can imagine God just sort of waiting for Hosea to have his rant, get his frustrations out, because once he's done, God speaks again to Hosea. In Hosea chapter 3, verse 1, then the Lord said to me, go again. Love a woman who's loved by a lover and is committing adultery, just like the love of the Lord for the children of Israel, who look to other gods and love the raisin cakes of the pagans. After everything that Hosea has been through, God says, go and find your wife. Go and love her again. You're still called to be faithful to her. God wanted Hosea and all of us who would hear this story and see his life to understand the heartbreak of unfaithfulness, but to also understand the power of God's love, his mercy, and his faithfulness. Even when unfaithfulness was shown to him, God loves anyway. I will redeem. I will forgive. I'm not going to give up on my people. They haven't followed me, but I still love them. Friend, God does not give up on you today. It doesn't matter the lifestyle choices you've made. It doesn't matter whether you've been following his ways. His love is for you. His mercy is there. He is faithful, and he's calling you home into relationship with him. Even when we fail, when we fall short, we were following him, but we stepped aside and walked away for a while. He calls us home. This is God's character. And Hosea's marriage is a picture for us to understand. He will never leave us. He will never let us go. So Hosea hears the voice of the Lord. He hears what God's asking for him. Go find my wife. Go find her wherever she is right now, whoever's in her bed, and call her home. And so Hosea takes strength from the Lord. I think this is what it looks like for the fruit of faithfulness to show up in someone's life, because Hosea does it. He goes and he finds her. We see this in Hosea 3, verses 2 to 3. Hosea says this, so I bought her for myself for 15 shekels of silver, and one half homers of barley. And I said to her, you shall stay with me many days. You shall not play the harlot, nor shall you have a man. And so too will I be toward you. What is Hosea doing? He goes and he has to buy back his own wife. He has to spend about 6 months' wages just to get her back. He goes and he pays the price and he brings her home. And then basically what he does is he renews his marriage vows with her. We're going to be faithful to each other. You're not going to have any other man but me. And I will be the same toward you. He reestablishes the relationship. He brings them back. He pours out his love towards her. And this picture right here, this is the picture of what God would do for you and for us. That God would see us in our place of brokenness and he would come and he would be willing to pay whatever the price is to bring us home. Yeah. We're looking to Easter in just a week where Christ would pay that price, where he'd stretch out his arms on a cross and lay down his life so that you and I could come home. It's the love, the mercy, and the faithfulness of God. And God's promise for all of us through the life of Hosea is that his mercy is available to us no matter what. He is faithful. He is faithful. And in Hosea, God gives us a picture of what it looks like. No matter how hard it is to follow God's ways, that faithfulness can be a fruit of the Spirit. That when God asks us to do a hard thing, he can give us the strength to do it anyway. Remember, Hosea is just a man. He's just a man. Yes, he was called by God, but so are you. He was empowered by God. I mean, I wouldn't blame Hosea if he had a run off, if he'd been hurt by such a painful situation. I wouldn't have held him responsible, but he didn't leave her. He's empowered by the faithfulness of God, and he went and he loved her again. I think we heard last week about the goodness of God chasing after us. This morning, the goodness of God is chasing after you, friend. If you feel far from him this morning, his faithfulness, he will never leave you. He's calling you home this morning. How do we do the difficult things that God asks of us? How can we be faithful? Well, how does he promise to help us? Well, in Philippians 2, verses 12 to 13, it says, therefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Catch this second part. For it's God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. What does that mean? Well, it actually means that God gives us the desires, the will to do what's right. Actually, God produces those very desires within us. If you feel like, I don't even know if I want to do the right thing, I feel like I want to do the wrong thing. Well, this morning, God can actually give you a new desire. He can transform the desires of your heart to actually be in line with his ways. He wants to give you the very desire to do what's right. And he promises along with the desire that it's God who works in us to do those things as well. He gives us both the desires to do what's right and the strength to do what's right. God is faithful and he wants to produce that faithfulness in us. This is what it looks like to have the fruit of faithfulness being produced in your life. And we lay down the wrong desires and ask God, would you give me your desires? God, would you help me to actually want, when I walk into my workplace on Monday, would you give me the very desire to treat people the way you want me to lead, to be an example in that place? Would you give me the very desire when I get home after church to actually treat my family the way you've called me to? Would you give me that desire that I would just be longing to do what you've asked me to? And God, would you also give me the strength? The strength when it's hard because you're faithful. And I want to be faithful like you. I want to produce faithfulness by your Holy Spirit in my life. We need God's faithfulness. What does faithfulness look like practically? In my words, faithfulness is showing up. It's just showing up. Faithfulness is consistently showing up. If I'm going to be faithful to my wife, I show up. I'm there for her when she needs me. I'm there for her. If I want to be faithful to my work, I show up. I'm there when I'm supposed to be there. I'm there. If I'm going to be faithful to the ministries that I'm serving in, I show up. I'm just there. God, you've asked me to serve or lead or do this thing. I'll be there. God, you asked me to change something in my life. All right. I'm going to show up for you. You asked it, I'll do it. Faithfulness just looks like showing up, showing up, showing up. I know that I want to be someone that, even though I'm young right now following God, when I get to the end of my days, hopefully in many, many years, that I would meet God and say, well done, good and faithful servant. Yeah. You showed up to everything I asked you to do. That you just kept going. There was many times you could have taken that path or that path, but you just showed up to what I asked of you. That's my prayer, and I hope it's your prayer, that we would be faithful to what God's asked of us. If God asks, we'll say yes and just faithfully serve as long as he has us on this planet. I love that it was Paul who wrote about the struggle and the wrestle in Romans 7, but he also wrote these words in 1 Timothy 1, 12 to 15. And I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who's enabled me because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Although I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an insolent man, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Paul thanks God that he counted him faithful. Despite a past, despite mistake after mistake, despite everything that he'd done in his life, God counted him faithful because he came with a repentant heart before God. I'm sorry for my mistakes. Would you help me to follow you? And he understood that it was Christ who died on his behalf and saved him from his sin. This morning, as we're here hearing about the faithfulness of God, perhaps you've never gotten your life right with him. Perhaps you're still in a lifestyle that you know isn't honoring to God. This morning, there's no condemnation from this platform. You and I and Paul, we're all in the same boat of needing God, of needing forgiveness for our mistakes. This morning, his faithfulness is inviting you into a relationship with Jesus Christ. His mercy comes with his faithfulness. It doesn't matter your past. It doesn't matter what you've done. Jesus wants a relationship with you. Would we bow our heads this morning, close our eyes? Perhaps that's you. You know, inside right now, you're getting things right with God. Maybe even as I've been talking this morning, you've been wondering, God, I know that's me. If I'm honest, my life looks more like Gomer than Hosea. I've got a past. I've got mistakes. But I want your forgiveness. I want your mercy, God. If that's you this morning and you want to respond to God's love, would you raise your hand right now? Just wherever you are, just lift your hand nice and high in the air. I see that hand back there. It's wonderful. Is there anyone else? Anyone else that needs to respond to the love of God this morning? His faithful friend. Come on, church, would you join me in praying for our brother who's just responded this morning, who needs the love of God? You don't have to repeat after me this morning, but would you join me by praying for him? God, I thank you for this man. I thank you right now that your love and your forgiveness would touch his life. I thank you that the old is gone and the new has come. I thank you, God, that you are faithful. You're faithful to him. You're faithful to us. And God, I thank you, Lord, that your faithfulness would be for every area of his life where he needs you right now. And God, I thank you that your sacrifice on the cross, Jesus, has made a way for forgiveness and a new life. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's message. For more information about our church, please head to beaconchurch.com.au. We look forward to welcoming you to our home.